Mr. Gay Wan Gui, room 7. So were the students very serious in their studies?
No, they were not actually serious. Perhaps the older ones were rather worried. They realized, I mean, the more serious-minded of them realized that they were going to miss a lot in the education, that the years of occupation would mean that they would have to catch up with their education later. They wanted to pass the O-level examination, they would have to work pretty hard because they would be overaged. And that was what actually happened. When the British came back, suddenly they found they had to start in a class 3 or 4 years higher, and they just couldn't cope. Some of them couldn't read the books they were given.
What about the teachers then? Did they try to teach those students the same as before so that they wouldn't miss very much in their lessons?
As I said already, everybody just went on from day to day in a rather dispirited manner. So there were no true tests or examinations, and no aim or purpose. And therefore, they did not know where they were heading for. See? And nobody was really preparing anybody for that kind of future, because they did not know what was going to happen. What they knew that was that they had to teach them some Japanese language and just to carry on and see what would happen from day to day, what was going to happen next. And the years were glued to the news, rumors and news, whatever news they could catch hold of the war, or the war. And of course many of them had to use their ingenuity, as I said already, to do all kinds of things. They knew things were getting worse.
What about the teaching methods? Were there any changes?
No, there were no changes. Some of them were old teachers ingrained in good habits of teaching. They more or less continued to impart knowledge in the best possible tradition, you see. And others, well, did not do so. But when they relaxed, most of them, they often gave the students a little bit of work to copy and would come out to the teacher's room and sit down, chit-chat and swap news. And if somebody said that he had the news of American victory somewhere or somehow, they would come and whisper and all would collect in the teacher's room and hear the news and so on. And of course, looking at each other to see whether we could trust each other or not. But we being a small group, we were not afraid, you see, because we knew that we had known each other for quite a long time. But it could be very, very serious when we have a group in which there are new members. You can never see that any one of us could be not very trustworthy. So nobody was really very, very serious. So education was not really education in the true sense of the word.
How did the students find the teaching of the Japanese language? Did they enjoy learning the language?
I don't think so. I think many of them realized or the parents also must have influenced them, that it was something that was merely a passing phase, that it couldn't be of permanent value, that the Japanese wouldn't be here for all time. So we all actually paid lip service. The teachers, because they had to. If we didn't study, the Japanese authorities, sometimes the teachers would be, the Japanese teachers would be asked about our progress, and you would come to class and ask us to take out a piece of paper and dictate to us certain things, and we had to write out, you know, write out in Japanese characters the passage he would dictate, and we would write out. And suppose we couldn't do that, it might be serious. We might show lack of interest, and it was not a question of lack of intelligence that worried them. It might be the question of couldn't care less attitude, see, or something against them, or feeling against them, and being a teacher that responsible for the minds of so many young people, that might have been a very serious thing in their eyes. So we were really afraid for our lives and for our livelihood. But for the students, I think they just were quite indifferent. So, and the teachers did not press hard. So that made a lot of difference. And some of them took it as a matter of interest. As some students are like that. Whatever you ask them to learn, they would take it as a matter of interest. And it's quite interesting, you see, to learn a language anyway. And some of them did pick up. But no sooner than the return of the British, they forgot what they had learned.
Did the Japanese officers visit the school very often?
Well, as I said, my school, being a rural school, was not visited. Except I remember once when they passed by, I heard me conducting a song. I was singing da 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 da. I was doing that in harmony, you know? And they stopped. They say, "Your children are singing this. Very nice. Let us hear again." And that was only once, but that was an unofficial and informal visit. And that was all. I think that was the only occasion. But after that, I don't think they might have stopped outside the hall to listen, but they didn't interfere. As I said, except for the private soldier, the others were not really that bad. After things had settled down, they were administrating the country, not that bad.
How about officers from the education department or inspectors of school? Were there any during that time?
There might be, but they were busy more with the bigger schools in town. You must remember, transport was not too easy in those days.
How frequent were those singing sessions in your school?
Singing? Well, every day. Every class had singing lessons. We had a very fine pianist, and he used to spend most of his time. I said, you're interested in music. Since he has passed away, he has already passed away, Noel. He spends his time mostly in the hall with the piano. And so children go, every class will go down, and he will rattle off on his piano Japanese tunes, and children start singing. And the teacher would have a good time just listening, and he would conduct the lesson.
Did the children enjoy the singing?
Obviously, by the sound, and sometimes quite sweet sounds. Children are always very fond of singing songs and enjoying nice folk music.
You mentioned earlier that sometimes you had no choice but to use English to teach.
Yes.
was it allowed by the Japanese authorities? Were you afraid of being found out by the Japanese?
No, we are not afraid of being found out. They are quite understand that we can't help ourselves. They understand.
Besides the classes, were there other facilities in the schools that the children could make use of?
Facilities. Well, there were games, basketball, and football, which we kept on repairing and so on. Things were rather hard to get: basketball, football, hockey with a few tattered sticks. Things were difficult to get, but we played somehow. The children played somehow.
During school hours?
In the afternoon, the teachers, we have the duties. So you could say they were ECAs, perhaps. Once a week, each teacher would have certain duties for certain games, and they would go to the school field in Chilokoro and carry on the games.
Was there any such thing like a sports day or such activities for the school children?
Not that I know of. Perhaps after I went to endow they might, but no, we didn't hold on.
During the time that you
we did have our own races in our school compound, but that's only a small meeting class, inter-class.
Any activities with other schools?
Inter-school? No, we didn't.
At that time, did all of you know very much about what was happening in other schools? Was there much contact?
You must remember that I was only there up to the time when I went to Endow. So I was not there for the whole period. So I wouldn't know of the latter part. But up till the time when I left, there wasn't actually. There wasn't. It was more a period of settling down to carry on with the teaching of the Japanese language and getting the schools stabilized.
Did the children have to pay fees for the education?
I think they had to, but I don't know how much, Very nominal. I mean, the same as the British, as before, I think. Very, very nominal. I mean, we had to be very nominal, as token, not much. No increment of fees or anything.
What about uniforms? Did they have to wear uniforms to go to school?
They continued to put on what they could of their previous uniforms.
Students were there in your school?
About 500,
How was that divided up into the various classes?
It was about 1, 2, and then it was then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, something like that. Maybe primary 1A, primary 1B, I can't quite remember. Some classes have 2 classes.
Could you remember whether there were more students of the lower standard or was there an equal number?
I think the 2 classes of each, if I'm not mistaken. 2 classes of each. So there are 14 classes. 14 times 30, about 30 average. So there are about 500. 30 plus average, about 500. At 2 classes each, I remember.
Who were these students? were they the same ones that, as before the war?
Yes, the same ones. Mm. Yeah, same ones.
They went back to their school.
Yeah, same school. Yeah, they came back to the same school.
Were they from around the area?
Yes, they were all walking distance usually. They're all around the area.
Were they all Chinese or is there a mixture?
Well, they're mostly Chinese. They're mostly Chinese.
You were the principal of the school during that time. What was your job as the principal?
Well, before that, I wasn't the principal.
During the Japanese occupation?
Yeah, they made me the head. They call it Gocho since the same principal. They call it Japanese principal. A person heading the school called Gocho Sensei.
So what was your main work as the principal there?
Just the same as the principal of any school. Just getting the registering the children, see that the clerk collects the fees, gives accounts, and so on, check the teacher's work, record books, that kind of thing, is it? And see that the school is being, the timetable is being adhered to, and so forth.
Were you responsible for recruiting new members of staff?
No, that is, I recommend. But during the Japanese occupation, the principal had no power. Later, when I became principal of Presbyterian Boys' School, when it was changed to, I had the power, but then again, it was only the power of recommending, because it is a mission school, and the principal has the power to recommend, then the board will approve the recommendation. Without the board's approval, the thing will not, the appointment will not go through.
So during the Japanese occupation, did you was there any time that you recommended some teachers?
Oh, no. We had enough teachers. And, we recommend everybody.
Did you have to meet with the education department, the officers there, very often as the principal?
No. I don't know why. During the Japanese occupation, we had no contact at all. They just said you carry on with the school and that's that.
Which means that you left very much on your own.
Because you are mission schools and they know the mission, they had knowledge that mission schools were all well run. And Mr. Shinozaki was the director, so he knew very well. Of course, he occasionally once or twice knew me also. I don't know why. Whenever he met me, he would ask me to sing a few songs for him. I don't know why.
Besides that meeting that you had with Mr. Shinozaki earlier on, was there any other occasion that you had to meet him officially?
No. No.
So that was
In fact, I never met him officially. And the time when he was, when I didn't meet him, he gave me an official letter. And it seemed that according to the official letter, it was a very important official letter of protection for me and my family, which few people receive, you know. And the protection letter said, this family of Mr. So-and-so, who is a very good friend of mine, should be protected and so on and so forth, and then he gave his job and so on. You see, my wife has the letter somewhere, I don't know.
When did he give you the letter?
Just before I went to Endow. according to people, that letter should be kept at all times during the Japanese occupation, and should be shown to any Japanese who came to ask me questions about me, if I couldn't understand anything, to show him the letter before anything happens.
You had a meeting with him earlier on, just before the school started. So that was the only time that you met him. With the rest of the other teachers.
Your pardon?
You mentioned that you met Mr. Zimazaki just before the school started.
Yeah, that's right.
That was the only meeting.
The only meeting at the city hall. Yes.
What about the teachers under you? How many of them were there?
I think about 14. About 14 or 15, and two clerks.
How many male teachers and how many female teachers?
That's difficult to remember. This is just gone. Quite difficult to remember. I think half are 50-50. 50%, 77.
As teachers, what were they supposed to do besides teaching their students? Did they have any other responsibilities?
Not that I know of. Yeah. As I said already, the moment they are off, if there are no official directives, each person, it was more or less understood, should go his or her own way and find the best possible way to keep out of trouble.
So who were the people involved in setting up the timetable and the examinations for the students?
I put up the timetable, actually. Sometimes I ask one of the teachers to help me as an assistant, but usually I do it myself.
For the whole school?
Yes, for the whole school.
The syllabus and the examinations?
Well, syllabus, we always have the old syllabus to base on. Quite easy. We have all the old record books. Ask the teachers to present the syllabus and I go through. Cancel the parts that I don't want and look through the textbooks and say, include this, delete this and so on. That's that. Of course, during the Japanese occupation, a lot had to be deleted to give way to the Japanese language studies.
So, for instance, what kind of things were being left out?
Yeah, pardon?
What kind of subjects were being left out in order to have the Japanese language being taught in schools?
English grammar, right? And then history. I think I left out hygiene. In the hygiene, you put PE, ask the teachers to explain games and so on, and give them talks, such things. And geography, certain parts of geography, countries' names.
What kind of talks were given?
Well, the talks about the. Sometimes you have got these. The Japanese, they've got their own hygiene books, their own readers, no? Even from very early days, they've got books telling you about diet, exercise, and so on. They're pretty good books. So I call them, in fact, you can call them hygiene in Japanese. I don't know. Hygiene in the Japanese language or something. But it includes physical training, diet, sleep, rest, everything all together, not just hygiene alone. all the whole environment, and so ecology, you've got the biology, tadpoles and so on. I don't know where they get the book from. Maybe my school has got it, other schools don't have it, I don't know. But it's quite a small book, you know. You have showing tadpoles changing to this and so on, mosquitoes and so on, and then diseases and then exercise and then food, various kinds of food to eat and so on and so forth.
So you gave talks based on this?
I didn't give the talks. I mean, the youngsters who can speak Japanese and perhaps those teachers just gave the talks in English. I said, you just give a talk.
In the class?
In the class, of course. Yeah, because just carry on. Or copy the words, right? Your vegetables, right? Yasai, vegetables. Eggs. Tamago. Milk. Miruku. And so on. Miruku. And so on. Just learn a few things. Names of food, simple foodstuffs. Very easy to learn these names of foodstuffs. So that they can have keywords, see?
So all this form part of the syllabus for the students?
Just in place, you ask me in place of this. So they can show if they happen to come and see. Say, why are you teaching again the old things? So if they want to shut those books and teach the old hygiene, old hygiene books, I don't mind. After all, our old hygiene books are practically nothing, the same. Don't think so. In fact, they are less comprehensive, actually. Less balanced and less easily understood, with parts here and parts there, with no cohesion.
Did you ever have to give talks during the assembly to the students?
Yes, but in English.
Only the principal gives?
Yeah, only the principal gives a talk. And sometimes Mr. Toh, I remember, I think he's already passed away also. Mr. Toh, he's a Malaysian chap. He sometimes gives talks, but he gives in Japanese, nobody understands him. The teachers themselves don't understand. I could hardly understand him. And the children, I think only about 5% could understand him, is it?
What kind of talks do you
normally give? I mean, usually, as I said, the simple fairy tales with the moral, sometimes like Aesop's fables, sometimes even actual direct Aesop's fables translated into Japanese.
What about the examination? Did you set the papers also?
No, the teachers and stuff.
Do you have to check through the?
No, I don't check. And they are just alphabets and exams filling the blanks in writing out Japanese characters and so on. Simple things, very simple things. As I said already, these tests were not taken seriously by anybody.
Was it done once a year, at the end of the year?
At the end of every term. Whereas, like, the children, they write A, E, U, E, O, Ka, Ki, Gu, Ke, Gu, I mean, write all the alphabets, and they write all the alphabets, you just mark. And then one line, two marks, that's how you finish. As long as you can write, you see.
So the students had to show the records, the report to their parents? Was there such a thing as showing the report cards to the parents?
I know we just don't know what the teachers did. I don't know where the report books are. They just sent back the language. We didn't put Japanese language, we just used the old report. Language. Yeah. Instead of English language, just put language. I don't know whether some of them kept the old report books, they would be worth money. I don't think anybody kept them so long ago. I should really ask some of them whether they kept the old report books. a term test. I don't know where.